Good morning. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
What do you read, my lord?
Words.
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 Good morning, I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. Good morning, and welcome to the show for Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. I hope you're having a good week and enjoying your day today. So for today, I'll be talking about two books as usual, but I'll start with a little bit of news as usual. So according to Global News, a report released yesterday notes that Nova Scotia had the highest level of human trafficking this year, according to data collected between 2014 and 2024. Over those years, the official reported 5,070 incidents in the province, far higher than in any other province or territory. According to the Canadian Centre to End Human Trafficking, the data could represent only 10% of the actual number. Then in international news, according to the BBC, the president of the West African country of Benin has assured residents that the government is fully in control of the country following an attempted coup on Sunday. That afternoon, residents of Benin's largest city, Cotonou, heard huge explosions believed to be the result of an airstrike. Meanwhile, three aircraft from Nigeria entered Benin's airspace before returning to their own country. Several coup attempts have recently taken place in West Africa. So that's the news for today. And then in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, for Tuesday, December 9th, the forecast is -7 with snow, and tonight -13 with periods of snow. Then tomorrow, Wednesday, December 10th, -13 degrees with periods of light snow, and overnight, -15 and cloudy. For Thursday, December 11th, -11 degrees and cloudy, and overnight, -19 with periods of snow. Then for Friday, December 12th, -19 degrees and sunny, then overnight, -25 degrees and clear. For Saturday, December 13th, the forecast is -21, really cold and sunny, and then overnight, -27. Oh, that sounds bad, but -27 degrees and clear. So that's the weather for today. And then in a few events, one thing that I'll mention is that tomorrow is International Human Rights Day. So I know that Amnesty International is having, or every year they have a writing marathon for people to get together or at home or wherever they want, write letters and make phone calls about human rights events or human rights cases. So if you'd like to participate in that, check the Amnesty International webpage and see what you can join in. But now it's time for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. The first thing I'll mention is the UWSA Food Bank donation drive, which ends today, actually, the donation drive. So collection period until December 9th, 2025, and drop-off locations are the UWSA main office, UWSA daycare, UWSA info booth, Duckworth Gym Elements, which is the Richardson College for the Environment and Science Complex. All of the donations must be brand new or unopened. They do not accept mouthwash, razors, and cosmetics or makeup. So that's the UWSA Food Bank donation drive ending today. And then for something very different, there is a Christmas Carol reading with Richard Hurst and Ron Robinson. And that's for Richard Hurst, December 17, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. and with Ron Robinson, December 18, 19, and 21 at 7:30 p.m. and also a 1 p.m. reading on the 21st. So that's reading A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And the tickets are, the evenings are at 7:30 and the matinee is at 1 p.m. Pricing, $30 general, $25 for members. Matinee, $60 for adults and $55 for children, $55 for members. And $50 member adults and $50 for member children. So get into the Christmas spirit this December with Christmas readings at Delnabert. This year, two very accomplished gentlemen will join us as hosts. Ron Robinson, a longtime friend of Delnabert and a beloved radio host, as I mentioned, he's a host here, have generously been sharing his stylings with the classic Christmas classic Dickens tale with our guests every holiday season for over a decade. This year, Winnipeg musician James Hickerson will accompany Ron on guitar for those readings. And returning to Christmas at Delnabert is actor Richard Hurst, a mainstay in Winnipeg's theatre scene. Richard performed incredible Christmas Carol readings at Delnabert throughout the 1990s and 2000s. We are very grateful that he will return for this holiday season. So that's about A Christmas Carol at Delnabert. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw.uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. So then, as I mentioned, I'll be talking about two books today, as I often do. And one of them today is Tales from the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, 1867 to 1914, edited by Sandra Rawlings Magnuson. And that's Heritage House Publishing Company, and it's 271 pages. So I started my review this way. For most Canadians, a life without running water, central heating, and other modern amenities is associated with camping trips, not everyday life. Yet the stories in Tales from the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, vividly describe a life without many of the comforts that we take for granted, where people experience both hardship and joy, leaving a legacy of persistence and fortitude for future generations to look at. In Tales of the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, 1867 to 1914, Sandra Rawlings Magnuson has compiled a varied and compelling set of first-person narratives describing different aspects of pioneer life in the prairie provinces. The influx of homesteaders to the prairies during these years resulted from the Dominion Lands Act of 1872, which gave newcomers the chance to apply for 160 acres of land for farming. With free land as an incentive, thousands of people from Britain, the United States, Germany, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Hungary, Scandinavia, France, and elsewhere migrated to the prairies to make a new life for themselves. Their experiences included a harsh climate and the danger of prairie fires, but also the warmth of communities, where people lightened each other's burdens with visits, celebrations, and more. Overall, the homesteaders seem to have appreciated their experiences, despite the hardships, as the accounts show. For children, living on the prairies offered the opportunity to explore the wide open spaces and to play with their friends once their chores were done. Meanwhile, adults built up businesses, experienced the challenges of teaching in one-room schoolhouses, visited friends and family, and found ways of coping with their surroundings. One chapter relates the story of a bride changing to her wedding clothes in the train's washroom. Excuse me. So she changed her clothes in the train's washroom, ready to join her groom at the train as the station platform. Despite many difficulties, these homesteaders generally responded with hope for the future. The stories in this collection cover a wide variety of people and situations, but readers can also find common threads running through the different accounts, including the homesteaders' inventiveness and flexibility, as well as the sense of adventure that is evident in many of the accounts. The editor introduces each chapter and ties different accounts together in her conclusion, where she comments on some of the characteristics that help the homesteaders through difficult times. Rawlings Magnuson's editing has made the different accounts consistent in style and vocabulary, which has made the volume easier to read but has potentially masked linguistic and educational differences and age differences among the homesteaders that some readers might find interesting. More background information on the writers would have been helpful as well for understanding various viewpoints and the range of people who chose to settle in the prairies, the prairie provinces, although that might have detracted from the theme of common pioneer experiences. And there is very little about the indigenous people, but this is mainly focusing on the pioneers, so if you're more interested in the indigenous experience, you might want to read a different book in addition to this one. But Tales from the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, 1867 to 1914, is an interesting and engaging book for anyone who wants to learn about the history of people in the prairie provinces, especially Alberta and Saskatchewan. Whether for academic study or general information, this book is a good choice. And a bit of biography of the editor. Sandra Rawlings Magnuson, an associate professor of sociology at McEwen University, has studied the homesteaders of Western Canada for over 30 years. She has a master's degree from the University of Regina and a PhD from the University of Alberta. Her work includes contributions to academic journals and lectures on topics related to homesteaders. She has written three previous books on the same subject, including Heavy Burdens on Small Shoulders, The Labor of Pioneer Children, and then two others. Currently, she lives in Edmonton, Alberta. So that's Tales from the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, 1867 to 1914, edited by Sandra Rawlings Magnuson. So that's one of the books, and now maybe I'll play a little bit of music. So this is Marcel Tyberg and Symphony No. 2 with Symphony No. 2 in F minor, and I'll play at least part of Allegro Appassionato. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Thank you. Sorry, that was Marcel Tyberg and Symphony No. 2, piano, or later on it's a piano sonata, but that was Symphony No. 2, Allegro Appassionato. So I hope you enjoyed that. So before the break, I was talking about a book about homesteaders. And now I'd like to talk about a book called Making Believe, Questions About Mennonites and Art by Magdalene Redekop. That's the University of Manitoba Press, and it's 380 pages. And in case people are looking for a book of light reading, this isn't really that, because it's, I think it was her dissertation or something of that nature. So it's somewhat academic, but it's very readable. So here's my review. When people think about art, Mennonites might not be the first group to come to mind. Yet as Magdalene Redekop points out in Making Believe, Questions About Mennonites and Art, creativity through the arts is very much a part of Mennonite life, whether as a means as confirming identity, or as part of a community, or as a means of questioning what it means to be a Mennonite. Artwork that can be hung on walls or displayed on shelves is a major focus of the book, including such visual artists as Wanda Koop, who founded Art City here in Winnipeg, and the author's own sister, Elizabeth Falk. The text also features discussions of writing ranging from Tielman J. van Bruch's 17th century Martyr's Mirror to modern writers such as Rudy Weeb and Patrick Friesen. Music is also represented in a discussion of Ben Horch, known for his part in commissioning the Mennonite Piano Concerto, which ironically was composed by a non-Mennonite, Victor Davies. The author points out that, ironically, at least one of the German songs, traditional German songs that make up the concerto, was also originally composed in English. The idea of identity is central to the book, as the author examines the ways in which the subjects of her book have embraced or ignored their Mennonite heritage as a faith, an ethnic identity, or both. And a quote here, "Identity is always in process, something that we create while interacting with others," end quote. While some authors and artists have used their creativity to address their Mennonite heritage, others have not. In her chapter on the Mennonite Renaissance, the author discusses the crisis in representations of Mennonites going back to the 16th century in Switzerland and the Netherlands, and how people have confronted these ideas. Until the second half of the 20th century, Mennonite participation in the arts was limited, but it has flourished since then, with poets such as Sarah Clausen and Di Brandt taking their place alongside other writers, painters, and more. Even then, Mennonites have not always known how to represent themselves, as Redekop points out in her chapter called Location Dislocation. Here she discusses the limitations of a book called Harvest, Anthology of Mennonite Writing in Canada, with its large sections in German, as well as the Mennonite self-portrayals in the Rhubarb magazine and other publications. Many readers might be intrigued or puzzled by the comparisons the author makes between the Mennonite literature and other works, such as Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but her connection of Reformation leader Menno Simons with the trickster tradition could be especially jarring to some readers. The topics in the book are wide-ranging, covering both the place of Mennonites in the wider artistic community and the author's own reflections on various aspects of Mennonite history and heritage. Making Believe, Questions About Mennonites and Art is quite a readable book, despite its length and somewhat academic style. The author's personal anecdotes and frequent references to her own sister's work help to balance the academic segments of the book, while a bibliography and other references give the book an important place in scholarship. With an extensive bibliography and index, together with photographs of artwork that the author discusses, the book is a useful resource for students of art or Mennonite history, or just for anyone interested in learning more about the subject. And now a little bit of biography. Magdalene Redekop is a professor emeritus of English at the University of Toronto and has been a presenter on the topic of Mennonites in writing. She is also the author of several books, including Mothers and Other Clowns, The Stories of Alice Munro. So that was Making Believe, Questions About Mennonites and Art by Magdalene Redekop. And that's published by University of Manitoba Press, and it's 380 pages. So the two books that I chose for today are somewhat different from each other, but they both have to do with identity. The homesteaders dealing with their new identity as Canadian settlers and dealing with the struggles of setting up a home in the new country that they were living in, while they were also probably missing their home countries very much and dealing with all kinds of hardships. And then in Making Believe, I guess Mennonites have gone through a lot of hardships as well over the years, being pushed out of one country after another, and then finally coming to Canada or the U.S. But despite that, many have been able to continue with the tradition of art and to record their struggles and their triumphs and their writing as well. So if you are interested in some Mennonite writing and whose books you might want to read, this is a good place to start. As I mentioned, it's somewhat academic, but it also gives a lot of useful resources and a lot of useful points to consider. So if you're interested in Mennonites and the fine arts and the influence that they've had over Canadian life and life elsewhere, you might want to read Making Believe, Questions About Mennonites and Art by Magdalene Redekop. And that's University of Manitoba Press, and it's 380 pages. Then the previous one, Tales from the Homestead, A History of Prairie Pioneers, 1867 to 1914, edited by Sandra Rawlings Magnuson, and that's Heritage House Publishing Company, Limited, and is 271 pages. So coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, but I hope you've enjoyed hearing about some of the books that I reviewed at one point. Actually, I reviewed them a little while ago, so they aren't terribly recent books, but they're very interesting ones and good for gaining a background and a perspective on what people have been doing in this country and elsewhere, since it's important to get different viewpoints to understand a little bit better. So I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'll be back next week for more discussions of literature and various books that I've reviewed. So thanks for listening, and I hope you'll stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. Have a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
You know, sometimes you've just got to hear something more than once. Well, you're in luck. Groundswell Radio is on CKUW, 2 p.m. on Mondays, then again the following Sunday at 4 p.m. The best new concert music from Winnipeg and around the world, right here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
My name is Adilson, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Support of CKUW is provided by the Western Cultural Center. Did you know that we now offer season passes for our fall and spring season? It's a great deal. To reflect the city we're in, we program music from anywhere in the world and in any language, because we want everyone to feel welcome at the WEC and in Winnipeg.
Do you hear that? It's a wood thrush. Songbirds lift our hearts, bring us joy, support healthy environments, and connect us with nature. Sadly, due to free-roaming cats, collisions with buildings, and habitat loss, over a quarter of Canada's birds have disappeared. It's heartbreaking. With your help, Nature Canada has mobilized thousands of Canadians for more than 85 years to protect and celebrate birds. To find out how you can save bird lives, go to birds.naturecanada.ca.
Amateur Hour, where bad is good and worse is even better. Your source for the weird, the wild, the wonderful. Tune in every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
King Cod Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount